Two satellite radio companies in the US are racing to line up new financing before they run out of cash next year, just a short time after launching nationwide services offering scores of digital channels to motorists. Shares of Sirius Satellite Radio plummeted nearly 44 cents last Wednesday to 76 cents after the New York-based firm said it wasn't signing up subscribers as fast as projected. Shares of Washington-based rival XM Satellite Radio Holdings fell more than 4% to $2.89. Both companies warned investors about low cash positions and filings with the Securities and Exchange Commission this week. On Wednesday, XM Satellite Radio said it would run out of cash in the first quarter of next year and would have to discontinue operations if it didn't raise additional funds. Chance Patterson, XM Satellite's Vice President of Corporate Affairs, declined to say how much the company needed to raise early next year, but said the company expected to break even by late 2004 or early 2005. Unlike Sirius, XM Satellite has exceeded early subscription forecasts. Since launching nationwide in November, the company said it had signed up 136,000 customers at the end of June, compared to an anticipated 130,000 customers. XM Satellite remains on track to report 200,000 customers at the end of the current quarter and 350,000 subscribers by the end of the year, Patterson said. On Tuesday, Sirius reported that it needed to raise another $300 million by mid-2003 and warned it might have to file for bankruptcy protection without the cash injection. This week, Sirius cut its year-end target to 75,000 customers, down from an early forecast of between 100,000 and 150,000. Making matters worse, some analysts said Sirius is burning through its remaining $300,000 of cash faster than it expected. HBO Films and Salon Media Group Incorporated will team to develop possible story ideas that could turn into full-length movies, according to an agreement announced last Tuesday by the parties. Under the pact, HBO Films will underwrite selected story ideas to appear on the Salon.com news and entertainment website that could be optioned for future film adaptation on HBO, said representatives from the companies. HBO will have a first-look deal for original material from Salon, which will present multiple story ideas compiled by its editorial staff and network of freelance writers. Forrester Research on Tuesday said internet piracy was not to blame, as record labels have claimed, for the 15% drop in music sales in the past 2 years. There's no denying that times are tough for the music business, but not because of downloading, said Josh Burnoff, principal analyst at Cambridge, Massachusetts-based research firm Forrester Research, who released a report on the digital music market. Based on surveys of 1,000 US online consumers, Forrester said it sees no evidence of decreased CD buying among frequent digital music consumers, and said the record labels could restore industry growth by making it easier for people to find, copy, and pay for music on their own terms. Forrester predicts that by 2007, digital music revenues in the United States will reach more than $2 billion annually, or 17% of the music business, from about $3 million in 2001. Forrester pointed to the economy and competition from other media for the music market's downturn, rather than the emergence of free song swapping services like Now Idle Napster and several similar sites in its wake, which the recording industry has claimed in several copyright lawsuits have hurt sales. Plenty of other causes are viable, including the economic recession and competition from surging video game and DVD sales, Burnoff said. Forrester says the labels will learn to fulfill internet consumer demands in the next few years, predicting that by 2005, labels will endorse a standard download contract that supports burning and a greater range of devices. Downloading will start to soar in 2005 as finding content becomes effortless and impulse purchases easier. Labels will make content available on equal terms to all distributors, while online retailers will become hubs for downloading, Forrester said. Internet service providers and network operators in the United Kingdom have won protection from legal action over content held on or passing through their networks. measures providing the protection are contained in the Electronic Commerce EC Directive, Regulations 2002, which were finally published by the government on Monday, less than 2 weeks before they're due to come into force. UK e-tailers have also gained concessions in the final draft of the regulations, and spammers will have to clean up their act. The new rules were generally welcomed by the ISP industry, which had lobbied hard in the wake of a case that saw Demon Internet successfully sued for defamatory remarks posted on its newsgroups. Demon said at the time that with more than 1 million messages a day posted to the service, it wasn't possible to scan them all. But one key issue has still not been satisfactorily resolved, says the ISP Association, ISPA. How ISPs should remove content once they have been warned that it may be illegal under criminal law or actionable under civil law, such as that of libel or slander. Although Demon was warned about the message on its server, it didn't remove it, a decision backed by other service providers at the time, who contended that it wasn't viable for an ISP to police their servers. Although the final regulations have removed doubt over limitations on civil and criminal liability of service providers who transmit, cache, or host third-party content, they still don't outline a formal procedure for the removal of illegal content, known as notice and takedown, or provide statutory backing for notice and takedown codes of practice, says ISPA. The regulations do go some way to defining how service providers might be deemed to have actual knowledge of the illegal nature of third-party content, but according to ISPA Secretary-General Nicholas Landsman, more is needed. Microsoft is investigating claims that its popular Internet Explorer software has a loophole that lets attackers pose as legitimate website operators, potentially giving them access to computer users' names, passwords, and credit card numbers. Although Microsoft said it's too soon to judge the severity of the problem, and even whether the flaw exists, some programmers and consultants said it could threaten the security of everything from online banking to e-commerce. The problem is fairly serious, said Elias Levy, a member of software security company Symantec Corporation's security response team. He said that the complexity involved makes the probability of widespread attacks unlikely. Attackers taking advantage of the loophole could trick computer users into thinking they are visiting a legitimate website and could convince them to divulge personal information. Mike Benham, a San Francisco programmer who discovered the problem, posted his findings on the 5th of August on a popular security alert website. Benham said Internet Explorer versions 5.0, 5.5 and 6.0 have loopholes in handling websites' digital certificates, such as those from VeriSign, which verify websites as being legitimate, and also include unique codes for encrypting information. Bullies who use mobile phone text messages to intimidate other children could be expelled from school in a clampdown on the phenomenon, the UK government has warned. Updated guidelines being sent to schools in England in September will, for the first time, explicitly recognise the problem, the Department for Education said. Our clear message to bullies who use text messages is, you will suffer exactly the same punishments and penalties that other bullies suffer, says the Department of Education. The guidance advises victims to keep the message or a record of what it said as evidence. Their mobile phone operators would change the number free of charge if they could show the phone was being abused, officials said. Statistics published earlier this year from children's charity NCH showed a quarter of youngsters in Britain had been threatened via their computer or mobile, and 16% had been bullied by text messaging. Comparing their cause to America's fight for independence from England, computer programmers rallied on Thursday to support a proposal that would require the state of California to purchase more open-source software. Michael Tiemann, Chief Technology Officer for Raleigh, North Carolina-based software company Red Hat, led about 30 protesters from the Linux World Conference and Expo to a podium outside City Hall. He urged politicians to adopt the Digital Software Security Act, a month-old proposal gaining support among hackers, civil libertarians, and people opposed to Microsoft's dominance of the global software industry. The proposal would require California state agencies to use open source software, such as the Linux operating system, as an alternative to proprietary software, such as Microsoft Windows. Tiemann and several other open source enthusiasts wrote the proposal and published it online, but they're asking programmers around the world to suggest changes. Open source programs can be downloaded from the internet for free, and they don't require users to pay licensing fees. Installing Linux on servers has saved Amazon.com, 7-Eleven, Deutsche Telekom, and the Chinese government and other groups millions of dollars. Mainly because of the reduced costs, government agencies and corporations around the world are switching to open source software to run databases and manage email. According to research firm ADH Brown Associates, about 20 million people are using the Linux operating system, the most popular example of open source software. But the Computing Technology Industry Association blasted the notion that California adopt an open source approach. The Washington-based trade group said the proposal would stifle innovation in corporate America and cause unintended repercussions for California, its information technology industry, and its citizens. A Microsoft spokesman refused to comment on the bill, but said it supported the CTIA's position. Nearly two-thirds of customer service communication in high-tech industries is conducted online or via email, reports BizReport. According to a study from Kainer, 61% of communication in the sector is conducted via email or online. A further 27% of communication is conducted through a variety of communication methods, including the telephone, email, and the internet. Almost 35% of the high-tech customers who responded to the Kainer survey say that online self-service provides the fastest response rate, compared to 17% who claim that a combination of communication methods offers the fastest response to inquiries. However, an overwhelming 56% of respondents prefer to use a combination of methods to communicate with high-tech companies. And finally, the British are a nation of gadget guzzlers, with thousands of gizmos lying around unused, according to a survey. A mountain of disused gadgets worth £5 billion are lying around UK homes, with over half of households stockpiling more than three pieces of unwanted high-tech wizardry. And the top five gadgets, at number one, the mobile phone handset, followed by hi-fi equipment, televisions, videos, and PCs or laptops. Young people between the ages of 18 and 24 are among the worst offenders, owning twice as many gadgets as the national average. Most are clueless about what to do with their unwanted technology, with only 3% considering recycling as an option. Men are the worst culprits for holding on to their gadgets, with 32% holding on to four or more unused items, compared to just 19% of women hanging on to the same number. And that's News Briefs for this week.